Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just want to mention, when I was growing up, I was hearing a lot about free speech. Now, my father was, in essence, the age of what a grandfather would be, but he was my father, and he saw one country taken over after another with communism, and he was very, it was a very difficult home life, but what I did appreciate was his focus on freedom. I'm very patriotic because of him, I'm sure. Valuing, though, the liberty that we have in the United States to speak freely. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is there was something on Saturday that took place. There was a free speech demonstration that was staged in San Francisco on Saturday. And then there were people who came to attack. In fact, it was several hundred counter-protesters. The Associated Press photographer witnessed a conservative being taken away in an ambulance. Demonstrators, the counter-protesters who were against the free speech demonstrators, were throwing glass bottles and plastic water bottles, and there was violence, and the event was canceled. In fact, the event organizer posted specific photos of his bloody mouth, and I saw this on television. A front tooth was missing, another hanging loosely. And the San Francisco Police Department said three officers were assaulted with pepper spray, and they said caustic chemicals. One was taken to a local hospital for treatment. This is a problem. And the reason, I'm going to read something to you. I have in front of me the amendments to the Constitution of the United States. When you hear the First Amendment to the Constitution, there are several things in that First Amendment. I'm going to read it to you. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, which it means to prohibit free exercise of religion is against the law. It's against the Constitution, specifically the First Amendment. It says, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. My point is, we should, by law, be able to do a whatever kind of meeting, nonviolent. It has to be nonviolent. And if it becomes violent, it's against the law. But the point is, there is nothing wrong with protesting some things that are you think are wrong. But my concern here is this free speech demonstration ended up literally being costly in terms of it was destructive. And it creates fear in people's lives. So how do we even think about this? Well, oddly enough, I would never have thought this. Right now, I'm doing a 10-10 with my sister. 10 minutes. It's all her idea because we cancel out each other's votes. And 10 minutes on something political, and we pick individually what we're going to talk about. But I just want you to hear the scripture, Proverbs 27:17, talks about iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We are to be sharpening one another. And I'm just going to say, there are times when my sister has said things and I've thought, let me understand her perspective. Now, that doesn't mean I agree, but it is so helpful to understand the perspective. Why is she thinking this? But you earn the right to be heard if you are respectful. So listen to those with whom you disagree. Listen to those with whom you disagree. You could ask questions. Just say, could you help me understand why do you believe this? But you don't have to counter. I just because I ask questions, it doesn't mean I'm countering. And we know that now of each other. You measure all, I'm going to use the term, truth claims by biblical truth. I mean, somebody say, well, that's my truth. Well, but what is God's truth? The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture, in other words, comes from God himself. All scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. So when you hear somebody's truth, does it line up with God's truth? And then we are to speak the truth in love. That is healthy. That's right.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
This program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to this rebroadcast of Hope in the Night. We hope the content of this program will bring you biblical hope and practical help. Please note that the special offers that occur during the program may not be available through this rebroadcast. Now, here's Hope in the Night with June Hunt.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart. We are offering God's truth for today's problems. And we are here now because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of the ministry here. And we thank you for that and for your participation in the ministry at Hope for the Heart. If you have questions or concerns about any of the topics that we raise here, we welcome you to give us a call and talk to our care center and they can help you access those resources. It's 800-488-HOPE, and they'd welcome an opportunity to pray with you as well. And we'd recommend tonight the Keys for Living called Reconciliation, Rebuilding the Broken Relationships. And again, the phone number is 800-488-4673. You may also email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org if you have any questions regarding any topics or want to look for resources or just order them by name that way as well. The email address, again, customercare@hopefortheheart.org. We want to get to our caller for tonight, calling from Texas, listening on KCBI tonight. We have Sarah.
Well, hello, Sarah. Welcome to Hope.
Hello. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. How can we help you?
Well, I was hoping by talking to you this evening that I could, or that you could help me understand why I have a tremendous sadness and guilt over my mother. I feel like I killed her. I took care of her. I was her caregiver for a number of years, for about 6 years, and there towards the end, I don't know, do I have time to kind of brief you on?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Years?
Yes, please do.
Okay. She was a great mom. I loved her very much. She battled alcoholism most of her whole life, and but she always took care of us kids. I have a brother and a sister. We were she struggled with the marriage of with my dad. He committed adultery all the time. So she divorced him and that period lost all of us, us kids. We went to foster homes and everything, and then she got us all back together. And we went from there, and she was always had a roof over her head, always nice clothes, always, you know, going to church, always things like that. And I can't say enough about what a good mom she was. Mm-hmm. But she got sick, you know, because of her drinking, and she did smoke. Mm-hmm. She ended up having COPD, peripheral artery disease, congestive heart failure. She had osteoporosis. She had a number of diseases because of her lifestyle. But so about 6 years, I took care of her. My brother, he lives out of state. My sister was just not, she was never there to help, really. Even though my mom took care of both of and raised both of her kids for her. She just wasn't, they just had a bad relationship. So I didn't have any help. It was pretty much just me. And in six years, I lost jobs, you know, carrying her to the emergency room and making sure, you know, taking care of her every need. And I had two kids of my own at the time, and they were, one of them was a teenager, and she was trying to go the bad road. So I struggled there for a long time, in and out of emergency rooms, and always having, you know, getting on the antibiotics to get her better. And there at the end, she was told by it, and the doctor wouldn't even tell her. He had me try to tell her. It was one of the last doctor's appointments, which we only had like a million of them. Her peripheral artery disease, which is, you know, your veins and your arms and legs just kind of shrink up, and she was going to go in to have a procedure done to have them, like, cleaned out so more blood could get to her feet, because her feet were literally black, like they were rotting off. And they told me it was like putting a roll of toilet paper in a straw, that it was not possible, that they were going to have to amputate her legs. Okay, so in this earlier 6 years, that's pretty much all we struggled with was doctors at all the time. You know, they never made her better. And I feel like I didn't tell her, you know, at the end of that appointment, we drove home that day, and I told her you know, she basically told me, she said, I'm tired of doctors. They're not helping me. I felt like she was just, you know, giving up. I had had her on hospice about 4 years prior, and they literally wanted her to lay in the bed. She had ulcers, real bad ulcers in her stomach, and she was bleeding to death. Mm. And I could not say, yeah, no, I'm not going to take her to the emergency room. But they were like, well, she's on hospice. Okay, this is why hospice is here, to help her, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I don't think she wants to die. But I kind of figured out in my own mind that I think I was keeping her alive all this time because I didn't want to lose her because I loved her with mm-hmm. all my heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
at the last point, at the end, when they told me that they were going to cut off her legs, I couldn't tell her that, you know. I just couldn't. And she was in so much pain. So I called in hospice again, and this is 4 years later, and knew exactly what I was doing with hospice, but they were rough with her and whatever. I wanted to take care of her. I wanted to mm-hmm. Bathe her and help her and give her medicine and be right there for her, you know. And I would give her morphine, so that comforted her. Before, she mm-hmm. was on hydrocodone, and she took a lot of that, and it didn't even help her.
Wow.
And so mm-hmm. we got her on the morphine, and it literally was like years. And she wouldn't pass. And I almost felt like during those, and I think it was like a week, maybe 10 days, you know, they advise you don't eat, because that just causes the body to, you mm-hmm. know, hurt even more. And she was like not dying. And I started freaking myself out. You know, maybe she didn't want to die. You know, why am I continuing to do this? I went through all of those stages. And I can't seem to let go of this guilt, this horrible feeling that I killed her. You know, and she weighed 70 pounds. Her feet looked like clubs. I mean, they were black, and
mm-hmm.
she was in a lot of pain. And I held on to her for all those 6 years, going back and forth and back and forth to mm-hmm. the emergency room and the doctor, and mm-hmm. wouldn't let her die. You know, I mean, I didn't want her to. And there at the end, I just didn't want her to suffer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I still feel, I just have all these memories of, you know, it was such a struggle, and it's hard. The hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. And I feel like I'm short tempered, or you know, this or that, or there's always these feelings of horrible guilt, like I could have done better, and maybe it wasn't her time to go. You know, but that's because I always feel like you don't play God, you don't abort your children, you don't kill your old people, you don't, you know. And I feel like I did.
Mm.
You know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you have quite a bit of knowledge about, like, to say I gave her morphine, and how did you know so much about the physical body? I'm just being very specific, because I'm listening intently to you.
I was a registered veterinary technician for years. That's the jobs that I lost when I was taking uh-huh. care of her, because they need somebody there 24/7, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I went into the people field, and I went into nursing. While mm-hmm. I was taking care of her, I started at the very bottom. I started at home health. I got a job right next door so I could make sure that I was there for her in case she fell or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I got the job taking care of another lady next door when I should have really been in the house taking care of her, but she couldn't. She didn't qualify for assistance in home health or anything like that.
Wow. So you obviously know so much more than the average person about just the physical body by virtue of your training and then your vocation of nursing that you went into. So it's not like you were totally uninformed, as most people really are. And what impresses me is I hear your heart for your mother. You said, you know, I loved her with all my heart. And I'm hearing that you kept trying to figure out one thing, and, you know, just one thing after another that could help. Is that correct? That you
yes.
would try to figure out, okay, if we could do this, if she could do that. It's very, very difficult. People have no idea what alcohol does on the inside of the system. They don't understand the toxicity part and the difficulty of extremities. And you've said those extremely well. I could tell you certainly knew a lot. And yet I hear that you're saying, you know, I'm hearing that you're feeling like that you've been irresponsible, that you are responsible for her death, and you're dealing with huge guilt and sadness.
Told her goodbye. I never told her that I was going to just start in with the morphine. I mean, I'm sure she saw hospice coming in, but I never just flat out told her, Mom, do you want to live with no legs? Do you want to, mm-hmm. you know, I couldn't see her that way. I didn't even talk to her about it. I didn't even, you know, I just brought in hospice.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask several questions. Spiritually, where was she spiritually? Did she have no faith? Did she?
No, she was Catholic.
Trust her life.
She raised all of us Catholic.
Okay. And so, do you believe that she ever entrusted her life to the Lord?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay. And have you done that actually yourself? Have you been able to?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have like a tremendous guilt of not being good enough and, you know, not doing the right things like God would want me to do, but I know He loves me.
Okay. All right. And so what you're saying is if your mother, you said your mother had placed her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you several questions when we come back. Honey, I love your heart.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we thank you for your support of the ministry and your prayer for us. And we need that day by day. So we thank you for your participation there. We want to recommend several resources for you. We have Keys for Living called Euthanasia, the Myth of Mercy Killing. Also, Death in Heaven, the Doorway to Your Destiny. And if you'd like to talk to people in the care center now about those resources or others that may help you or help you to help others, we have a number for you, 800-488-HOPE, and they can pray with you and help you get those resources into your hands. Again, the number is 800-488-4673. Let's return to our conversation with Sarah.
Well, precious Sarah, the thing I appreciate about you is I do not hear that there was ever a time when, based what you're feeling guilt about, I'm not hearing that you were trying to harm her. I'm hearing that you were in pain because of her pain. And you were trying to help her the best you knew how. Is that wrong or right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I hear your word, you know, I never told her goodbye. I'm going to make a comment about that in a different context, sweetheart. When my mother was dying, all these people were gathering, people flying in, and I worked out making sure everybody had time to say goodbye to her. And we even had her friends come that wanted to come by, and they all did. and then the last day was family coming in, and after everything was over, the next day it dawned on me, I never told my mother goodbye. I never arranged time for me. And I thought, how could I not do that? But I was so trying to do other things. I told someone, and I was to a degree grieving over this, even though I knew she at that point was face to face with Christ, her Savior. She was experiencing her new home in heaven. And yet I thought, but I didn't say anything. I didn't, I was telling this to a person who was a brand new Christian as an adult. And she said, well, why don't you just tell your mother, no, why don't you tell Jesus what you would tell your mother? And I thought, is that theologically correct? Is that biblically accurate to do that. And I thought, I can ask the Lord Jesus to communicate if it's His will to tell her what I would say. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we are told that we are to pray, and ask what you would have. In other words, the Bible says, present your request to God. And so I thought, okay, I'll request, and I'll just leave the results to Him. And, I did that. I always want to be biblical. I don't want to go against anything the Scripture would say, but there was no Scripture that said you couldn't do that. And so I thought, why not? And then I've checked it out with some other theologians, and they said, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. And so I'm just going to say to you, and we'll talk about other things, but would you want to say to Jesus, okay?
I have. I've done that 100 times. Every time I cry and I beg and I talk to my mom and I pray to God and I pray that she hears me. And
Well, the thing is, in terms of heaven, let me share with you something that's wonderful. In heaven, there are no more tears. There's no sorrow. There's no sin. And this is what we have to look forward to. And so it is. And let me just ask this. Would your mother want you to feel this huge weight of guilt? It's like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. Would she want you to carry that?
No, she wouldn't want me to carry that at all.
Yeah.
I feel sometimes like it was me giving her all these drugs that made her pass. And maybe if I wouldn't have done that, something else could have. I just don't know if I did right.
Well, when there are those that are, I'm gonna say it this way. God knew her last day before she was even born. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that the Bible says that? Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. So when you look at the Word of God, that means this is what God wants us to know. It's His Word. He is the author of the Bible, and He used scribes to put exactly down what the Lord wanted to be there for us. And that's why it's called God's Word. It's His Word to us, and then He inspired authors, if you will, human authors, scribes, to write what He would want, and He protected to keep out the things that would not be wise, that weren't right in His sight. And then if God is God, who is all-powerful, He has the power to protect what He would have put into the Bible. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So in Psalm 139, verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book, that's God's book, before one of them came to be. So He not only is the creator of life, in fact, verse 13 says, you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. So God is the creator of life, And he is the author of the end of life. And the Bible, again, I'll read that, verse 16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So, since he knew what her final day would be, I'll just say it this way. At any time, she could have died. Much earlier. Much, much earlier. Not just months, even years before, but God knew what her last day would be, because all the days ordained for us are written in his book before one of them ever came to be.
Yes.
So do you agree that she could have died years before? And
yes,
probably you would know that it would be at different intervals. There were times when she had great difficulty, and yet she would overcome. So there are times when we need to trust God with the unknown that we have. We don't know anyone's final day. In fact, on Friday, last Friday, I received a call. I have a cousin, and he was teaching at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He had a great day before, and he did not wake up on Friday morning. And so I've been dealing with family, friends of ours, theirs, you think, how on earth? He was in good health. I mean, you know, so yeah. there's no explanation unless they're trying to figure out, did he have a heart attack or an aneurysm? You know, there's nothing that was negative. And so here, your mom could have gone logically at any time, and her time was extended by virtue of her body was diseased. You described multiple things. You said all kinds of diseases. So God knew what her last day would be. And what I would say is, if that was the day that he chose, you know, he could have kept her alive longer. I mean, he's God. He can do that. And he could have taken her earlier. So I think if we look at it from God's point of view, you did not do something to try to force her to die in terms of, I'm angry with my mother, she's just in the way. You know, this is not heartless. You weren't not being heartless.
Okay.
Now, does that make sense? The intent makes a huge difference. And I heard it was love for her. And you kept trying to do everything you could for her betterment. And you had a brother and sister who were not helpful. So you said it was just me, but you did it. You were sacrificial, even losing jobs because of caring for her.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common: a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we are getting back to our caller in just a moment. And first, I want to tell you about the resources for tonight's topics. And you can access these by calling our care teams at 800-488-HOPE. The Keys for Living called Death and Heaven, the doorway to your destiny. That's available to you as you get in touch with us, and you can order that at 800-488-4673. If you would like to speak with June about something going on in your life on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17, and just call and follow the prompts. Leave us a good detailed message, and we'll get back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's get back to our call with Sarah.
Sarah, as I'm hearing you, I hear a tender-hearted daughter. You had a tough life growing up. I mean, for the fact that you describe your dad as being adulterous, you know, it was just, that was lifestyle. Your mom tried to better the home situation. She certainly had, so they divorced. And yet you said then she lost you kids to foster homes. But later she got you back. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so she wasn't going off cavalierly, going, oh, well, okay, I'm relieved of responsibility of the children. No, this can be heartbreaking for moms.
Yes.
And sometimes dads. So, and I say that because and you as a medical professional, you know probably more about alcoholism than most. And you know the effect. Alcohol is a depressant. And when there is pain, what alcohol can do is literally numb the pain. This is why a person can get off, get clean, off of whatever drug it is, and they go back. Why? Because there can be unresolved pain in the heart. And that unresolved pain from living life, it's like, I hate what has happened. And so this is a coping mechanism. It doesn't help. It did not help her. You say, well, she thought it did. Yeah, she did. Because is it not true that alcohol can numb the pain for a period of time?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a fix that really isn't a fix, right?
Right.
Because you know the end result. You know what alcohol can do. And so many problems that people have, they don't think of it that way. They're just thinking, it's no big deal. You know, it could be like drinking, for one person, be Coke, tea, you know, water. They don't understand. Some people don't understand the toxic nature of alcohol, of what the actual chemicals are. And they kill brain cells every shot of whatever the alcoholic beverage is. It kills, and I learned this in my 20s, millions of brain cells every time. And so, but it also affects other parts of the body. Well, but what I'm saying to you is, it's like it performs a function of trying to cope. Now, that's not for her betterment. And you had to keep doing everything you could to try to help her. And, you know, it's very serious when you're talking about amputations and all the other aspects of the, and you understand the veins and the shutting down of blood flow and all that. So what I'm saying is, you did not give up on her.
Right.
Now, it would be I am not for trying to make something that's wrong Lily White. What I'm saying is, I hear you were doing everything you could, all the doctor's appointments, all these things, and you worked so hard to care for her, to take care of her, and I understand what you thought, and, you know, what you said about not telling her about the amputation, you know.
Right.
There, you know that a doctor should have been the one to have said it, don't you?
Yes.
And yet, for his reason, I mean, he should have done that, because it is so hard for family members, and or for many family members. I'm a big believer in speaking the truth in love, but I can tell you, there are so many that do not. They just don't want to let a loved one know. They think that is most loving. I can give a counter to that, but in this case, it's born out of trying to do what's best for her. That's what I'm hearing. And you told me she would not want you feeling guilty.
Right.
Intent is everything. When you look at even the Bible, the Bible says, man can justify his every deed, but God looks at the motive. Well, what was your motive? It was not to do harm. You were trying to do what is right in behalf of your mom. And I understand. Now, yes, there are issues. A lot of people have never looked at Well, what is euthanasia? What is right in this situation? I think, and we have material on this, and there is quality of life versus sanctity of life. We, you know, there are many things to consider. I think what I'm saying is, I'm looking right now. Your mother, you said she did give her life to the Lord.
Yes.
So she is in, you know, she is then in heaven if she gave her life to the Lord, and you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you received him as your Lord and Savior. He could have, God being almighty, he could have jarred you and say, don't do this, don't, you know, whatever. He could have done multiple things. So what I'm going to say to you is, there is a scripture that is powerful, and I want you to listen carefully. It's Job 14:5. Job 14:5, listen to this. Man's days are determined, meaning our days on earth are set. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set the limits he cannot exceed. So do you see there? If we cannot extend the limits that we cannot exceed, he said, this is it. This is the final day. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay, man's days are determined. You, that's God, have decreed the number of his months and have set the limits he cannot exceed. Again, Job 14:5. So I look at that, and I look at, there was no malintent. You were seeking to do what was right for your mom, what was in her best interest. That means intent. There was no malintent. There was no wrong intent. And I know that you said, I didn't talk with her about the amputation. Yeah, I know a lot. So many people, they said, I didn't tell my mom that she had this. I didn't tell my dad. Right. Sometimes we need other people to help us think through our options, but sometimes we don't have that person. And yet, I know, I'm hearing your intent. And what I would say is, if you think there's anything that you, by the way, every one of us have chosen wrong things. We thought we did something right, but it wasn't right in retrospect. And what God, our God is a God of grace. Grace means you get a gift you don't deserve. He's giving you a gift you don't deserve. Just like for salvation, that is we've been given a gift of eternal life that we don't deserve. So what you say is, God, forgive me for my wrong choices. You know what they are, whatever they are. But thank you that, Beck, would you like for us to have a prayer right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just pray after me. Lord God.
Lord God.
You know my heart.
You know my heart.
Thank you for giving me a mother I could love so much.
Thank you for giving me a mother I could love so much.
And thank you for understanding that I loved her.
And thank you, Lord, for understanding how much I loved her.
For any wrong that I committed, I ask your forgiveness.
For any wrong that I have committed, I ask your forgiveness.
Thank you for forgiving me, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for forgiving me, Lord Jesus.
And thank you that my mother is in heaven.
And thank you that my mother is in heaven.
And one day I will join her in heaven.
And one day I hope to join her in heaven.
Because of you, Lord Jesus.
Because of you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Our Hope Care representatives are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Keys for Living called Euthanasia, the Myth of Mercy Killing. Also, Death and Heaven, the Doorway to Your Destiny. They're available as you get in touch with us. Again, the number 800-488-HOPE. Our materials and past programs are available on the website at hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and it's a free download for you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.